I would like to thank everybody, all of you for coming here and that to so to us together to help each other. Us all together to help each other to develop our mind. And the most important thing in our life to develop our good heart. The good heart. The method and you know, and wisdom, so that we can benefit more, you know, to other living beings. We can help better and more depth. So I would like to just to say thank you very much for giving this opportunity.
We did mention to Pekka Rinpoche that we would be doing this in this session to say who we are and what brought us here and what we're dealing with in our life.
I had to be the master. My story begins with 80 snowball men. Snowball men on the snow mountain.
You met him.
No, we have. We have a. I have one retreat cave, hermitage in the Himalaya Mountains, 14,000 feet. So this is snowball, then this this animal. It comes. It is one trail. It comes across next to the hermitage and near hermitage. Come, I think. So when it gets colder, I think it comes down from the high snow mountains. It comes down to live in a warmer place down below the trees in a low place. But then I think when it gets warmer, I think it goes up on the snow mountains. So where there's the hermitage, where I go sometimes there. So that mountain is the trail. So I didn't see because I didn't spend enough my life there. But my uncle's there. So I have quite a number of uncles, and the one uncle. two of the uncles who were born from my grandmother. So one of the younger uncle, who was very very good hearted and took care of my grandmother. took care of my grandmother for many years. She became blind. and could not see. So my uncle was staying in the hermitage up on between the rocks, very high mountains. So he was doing a retreat. While he was doing one very powerful practice called prostration. very powerful purification. So, as a one very powerful practice for development of mind, to for quick realizations of the path. So, my uncle was doing retreat, his retreat. Then at the same time, he was taking care of my grandmother, who's very old, completely white, and could not see. So he was cooking food and bringing her out for people kakas to bring inside. He served for 7 years while he was doing the while he was doing the practice. And so he's like so he used to look after animals for him. So much of his life spent early times to look after animals. Not as yaks, but most of the animals that we have up there is not quite yak. It's the wife of the yak. It's called a. It looks like yak, but it's not yak. Yak is male. And there's similar to yak, that which produces milk, which gives milk and gives birth. You know? Yak is the father. But usually we say yak milk, but yak is yak butter. But it's not quite right. So my uncle, this younger uncle, when he was looking after animals, he saw the snowball man on the mountain. But if you don't harm, then it doesn't disturb you. And he just it's a very powerful being. There's no stories that it harmed people or animals that much. he saw, and a lot of people see footprints, you know, in the snow, huge, you know, footprints, and maybe also the dung, and things like that, and it makes a lot of noises. I think, especially winter times, when it starts winter, then I think that comes down. So, if my uncle said that when even though they were in the house in the high mountain, you see, the piled up stones. It's a very primitive place, so piled up stones and just square house, and. So even though he was in the house, but he could feel the vibration when the Yeti was coming across. there was a very strong vibration, somewhat very, very strong vibration. Even the people who look after animals, they have huge dogs. I mean, this Tibetan, very, very vicious, huge dog, mystic dogs. So even, usually they aren't, not so much scared, but when the Yeti comes, even the dog gets, you know, try to come in the house. so animals, they run away, yaks and all those. And so I think the people, they make fire. Somehow it maybe helps. So it makes a lot of noise. It's able to make like people talking. It's just passing through, like people talking. All kinds of noise it makes. And one family has has a head. And found some dead body, head of the 80. So sometimes when I was going to, when I was going back to you know, Solukhumbu. This is called Solukhumbu. So when I was going to this, you know, this hermitage, so I meet sometimes tourists, you know, when they were coming down, I meet some tourists, and so they they say hello, and then they, so I have very surprising thing for you to show them, but they, some tourists, they got few hairs from this family, the hairs of the 80. So they were taking away as a very precious thing. So they were, so look at what I got and checked out from, you know, you know, having very precious souvenirs. So. And yeah, I think some, quite a number of my uncles, they saw this. They saw the snowball man. So I was born this is a place called in Nepal. In Nepal. in Nepal, the Himalaya, the Himalaya Ridge, it's near Mount Everest. It's very close to Mount Everest. I think maybe from there, it's one day, from there maybe one day or one and a half day, something like that, to the base camp, in the root of Mount Everest, and it was very cold. And so I was born in Solukhumbu. There's two places, lower and upper. Lower is a little more hotter, upper is a very cold one. The next to snow mountains. There's a, you know, forest mountain, but also snow mountains around. And the one small village called Tame. It's very, very, very primitive place. And my family was very, very poor. And I think when my father was alive, I think that they had a little bit more wealth. But after my father died, when I was born or in mother's womb, that time a lot of disaster happened to the family. Many animals, you know what, my mother had died, and a lot of troubles happened. And I think my father must have died maybe when I was in mother's womb, or just came out, you know, well, maybe when she was carrying the basket around that time. But I don't remember. I don't have visualization of how my father looked like. I don't remember. I don't think. Maybe when I was a very small baby. But I don't remember at all how he looks like. But he's you know, dress. His Tibetan, the dresses are the Tibetan dress, even though. The Buddhist Sherpa, these people called Sherpas, they're originally from Tibet, from the lower place of Tibet. And I think there have been some disunity in the lower place of Tibet. So then some group of people, I think they escaped to the border of Tibet and Nepal. And I think they I think they stayed on the Nepalese barrier, and they possibly they came with lots of animals, so they lived on animals, goats and sheep like that. Then later they finished, and so they didn't have food, so So they went in the forest, tried to find some plants to eat. So they live on plants. Then after some time, somehow, some past day, some good action. So the potato, this potato maybe came from west or from somewhere it came from. So our main food is potato, main field is potatoes. And so then they become Nepalese citizens, but originally they are from Tibet. Then they become Nepalese citizens. I think they become a little bit violent at the beginning. And they destroyed the forest. And so then I think then Nepal they were not following the law, Nepalese law. So I think Nepalese they sent some army to control them to fight. Then later they all surrendered to the Nepalese government. Then they became Nepalese. So this place this area is called East Nepal, you know, East. So in Tibetan language, Sha. So the people called Sherpas, they help the trekking, you know, climbing over mountains or the poaching, or they do poaching or guide, you know, bring the tourists to climb the mountains and things like that. And I think there are a few Sherpas who, you know, climb Mount Everest. So so what I remember was we were very poor. So in my family, there was only my mother who took care, because all of us are very small children. And myself, my brother, and sisters lived it. Before me, there's one girl. Well, she's a little bit, she could have a little bit to look after animals, to, you know, take the animals out, put them for, you know, on the mountain and to bring back in the evening times. So she was a little bit able to help my mother. But otherwise, rest of us, just small children and playing in the house, in the field, spend the whole day playing the field, you know, and that's all. You know, just the mother make food, then we eat, then go to play, that's all. And so, so night time, the blanket that we wear, oh, there was not a blanket. So what we wear is a father's coat. That was only the dress. That is only the dress that we. That's father's, you know, coat is our blanket. Like the, you know, like sleeping bag. Night time to wear. So the whole family is covered by father's coat. You know, my mother and myself and then brothers, sisters, everybody into the father's coat. You know, father had I think sheep, you know, animal sheep coat called chua. So I remember in the mornings we don't get up early. And then whatever, you know, laying down together, then talking, looking at the father's coat and talking about this father's coat. And what's that? So, so my mother had a lot of difficulties. So she was a lot of debts. First father passed away, then she was only what's left that could take care, who looks after all of us, the family, you know, wealth, the everything, food, everything. And so somehow she owed a lot of money. And so I remember when I was a small child that, you know, people used to come, you know, to get money, maha, tax, and people, you know, come to get tax and many things. So my mother didn't have money. So she makes alcohol, potato alcohol. The small potatoes, the very small potatoes, in our country, these very small potatoes people don't eat. So what they give to the animals, you know, yaks, cows, or you see the alcohol, but this alcohol is very, very strong alcohol, very, very strong. So my mother used to make alcohol tons of time, for many hours. So there's one big pot, then a small pot, another small pot, another small pot. So it's like a stupa. So on the top there's another small pot. So what happens is you make firewood, you see, for many hours, you know. Then here the first pot is filled with potatoes. Then this vevu, the vevu goes up on top of that small pot. Then it creates drops. Then inside this big container, there's another small container. By vevu going up there, the drops that is collected up there, so it drops down one by one. So this is the alcohol house made. You know, takes a long time. So many hours to make a fire. So she does this sometimes, and then so she offer my mother offer, you know, while the person there offer, you know, alcohol, you know, that then after the person leaves, when the person's, you know, left from the upstairs, most of the houses are two stories. Downstairs, you fill up with tree leaves, so that the animals can live warm, you know, downstairs. And then there's the to go up, then upstairs people live, you know, so like that. That's the style of the house. And so after the person left outside, then as I remember, my mother used to, you know, my mother used to, as I remember, my mother was throwing dust from the floor. The man was, you know, probably the man scolded or demanded very much. Or, you know. So I was playing around the fireplace. And then after the person, you know, left, then my mother picks up dust from the floor and then throws behind the person, you know, saying, I don't know, maybe the person dies soon or something, I'm not sure. Because I think the person gave a very hard time, you know, to her asking for money. So anyway, and poor, but you know, we had a few fields, you know, potato fields. So there's always enough food, you know, from the field. And she was the only one who took care of all children. Sometimes, so there are fires. We make fire with, you know, wood, wood collected from the forest. You know? So no other children has capacity to do that. So my mother was the only one who goes to a forest. You know, spend the whole afternoon to cut, you know, dry wood or cut wood. Then, you know. Then sometimes she's unable to come back early at home, so already become dusk, and so three or four of us were waiting for the mother to come back to get food, and we were waiting at the door, at the gate, sitting in the, you know, waiting for the mother. And so then after a long time, but there was a moon. So we look at the moon and we talk about the moon and that. So after a long time, then mother comes very big with a huge pile of wood from the forest. And then again she has to make food, she has to make fire and make food for us. Then sometimes One time I remember, my mother was, my mother went to pick up firewood, and she came back, and she came back, and she could not make food. there was no fire. There was no fire, so we sit around the fireplace. There was no fire because we could not make fire. You know, so small, could not make even fire. So my mother was, well, she was, after she brought firewood, you see. And then she had headache, was, she was very, very sick. So she was laying down next to the fireplace. And then she was calling Amma, Amma, she was calling Amma, Amma is her mother. She was calling my grandmother, Amma, so she, I think she was having much pain. So I remember that time, so at home, so there's a fireplace, square fireplace, you know. There's an iron, iron like this, you know, with the four legs. So you put a pot there. So usually my seat is here, then the other brother sister stays there, then my mother is always that side. So she was you know, laying down there, and there was no fire, there was no fire cold, and she was you know, making noise, you see, calling her mother. And then I went there next to, I went to see mother, you know, next to mother, but nothing that I could do. And so anyway, so when I was very when I was very small, very small, that time I when I was young, when I was staying at home, I did have a natural interest to you know, monastery or to a monk, or to take that kind of life. And and even when I was very small, we I had many other children, many other children that we play together. So even the most of the plays we used to play as giving initiations, or even, you know, children time in the field giving initiation, or giving doing as a prayer, so just we didn't know any prayer, didn't know any prayer, but just imitating, just doing things. And then my mother, when I was over five, my mother put sent me to monastery. There's a monastery next to my home. And in that monastery, there's one of my uncles there. So she asked somebody to carry on the shoulder, to carry me on the shoulder, and put in the monastery to learn Tibetan alphabet, you know, from my uncle. So I was very naughty. I was I stayed there 1 or 2 days. I against escape, you know, I escaped down because there I don't have many friends to play, you know, in the monastery. So my uncle, our private teacher, he teach. Then as soon as he goes in the room to cook, you know, to make tea or to cook. then while he went in the room to in the kitchen to cook, then I escaped to home, you know, so that I can play, you know. And so I did that quite a few times. then I was very small, so I used to be very scared, rock, you know, the rocks, or dark, you know, rock, where there's darkness, you know, rocks, or kind of dark inside the rock, something in the road. So I used to run down from the monastery to them until I reached my home, you know, straight, without resting, you know, just say, run down. And then, one time, I think, one time it was a flow of snow. The whole place was a flow of snow. So I think I had a very simple dress, very simple. My mother made very, very simple cloth, very simple cloth, that trouser and the shirt all together. just one. So I think I didn't know how to open. You know, I didn't know how to open. So I think I did toilet inside. You know? So from the monastery, from monastery with the toilet inside, went to my mother's home. Then my mother was outside. Then she took off, because she can smell. So she took off my cloth. there are other people, so she cleaned everything. And then I stayed 1 or 2 days. Then I guess she sent back to the monastery. You know? So I was so very near to home. So you know, kind of the intention. Even though the alphabet wasn't difficult to learn, I think my teacher said to learn very fast. I remember when I was learning alphabet, there was one syllable that was I had difficulties. One syllable I had difficulty to learn. So. The outcast say, when we read, you read with a stick, pointed sticks, you know, like this. So I created some heavy negative action because the syllable which I could not memorize. With stick, you see. I'm at a hole. That one was very difficult. So I'm at a hole. So okay, so. The, you know, heavy actions there. Then, because I was very open and disobedient, didn't stay in monastery, see, you know, Muslim. So then my mother sent to another place. You have to cross the mountains, and you have to cross. It takes sometimes 2 days or 1 day, depending on how you travel or depending on how the road is, you know, safe. So another place, my mother sent. There's also one of my uncles there. So you have to cross snow mountain. Steep snow mountains you have to cross, and then very dangerous mountains. Water's coming down, stones falling down, stones, rocks falling down constantly. You know, then some small stones they fall down. It hits down there so constantly. Like this noise happens, so there's also water comes down. There's no extra trail to pass. So you have to cross when you go to other place you have to cross down. When you come back you have to climb up that. So like this, the other place I lived 7 years. So from there I could not escape to home. This is very far. So 7 years. That time the Tibetan mind sector is four. 근데 니마 가주 데루 사자 therefore set so that time they are most monasteries in that area is Nima Ba. So that's the prayer what I memorize, you know, so then so we with my teacher who came to see my mother and take initiations from Mother Lamas from the same monastery where I was there before. And so so they went back and come back, went back past four times, you know, traveled to see all the dangerous pigs, but never got somehow never got killed by these stones or this. But that's quite quite amazing because there's one very dangerous mountain where this where the lot of stone comes down. Death in the past was, you know, one or two sherpas and I think some Western person got killed, you know, stone fell down and they killed. But always, before you cross this, everybody stop here. Everybody stop here and, you know, the drinking alcohol is very common in our country, so the sherpa country is very common. This is the main thing what gives them inspiration. yeah. What makes them to for anything to work or for mostly whatever. There are few people who don't drink some months, but the many months also it become habit or custom in the country also drink. So how you are? So before they cross this mountain, so everybody drink the potato alcohol, this very strong one. They drink this, then they rub and, you know, make warm. And then they carry very, very heavy loads. huge, you know, huge square butter tin, you know, tins, you know, filled with butter. So two tins like that they carry. huge loads, and then sometimes they push, you know, animal. They also bring animal yaks. So somehow, so people pray very, very hard until they reach to this other end. You know, they constantly everybody pray whatever they can until, you know, until they reach here. But as soon as they reach here, then their prayer is finished. Everybody is relaxed. Sure, yes, that's right. Okay, let's try. My story went too long.